Okay, morning everyone. Today's Daf and Erevin is Daf Tzadi Gimel. We're on the bottom of Tzadi Beis Amid Beis, and we're continuing from yesterday's Daf. A fascinating Daf, as we started the second mission of the ninth parak of Erevin, where we learned about this concept of Chatzah Gedola versus Chatzah Katana, and they are next to one another. And basically, how do we view the two of them together? So as the Mishnah said, the Chatzah Katana basically becomes an attachment, like a foyer to the Chatzah Gedolah. In fact, the Lashon of the Mishnah is, Bimneshi Kipis Chatzah Gedolah, it's like the Pesach of the Gadol. And so that basically means then that if you have these two Chatzeres that are configured in such a manner, so if you're resident of the larger Chatzer, it also means that you have Shaychus to the smaller Chatzer. However, the opposite is not true, that it means that if you have Shaych, if you're living in the smaller Chatzer, you don't have shaychus to those that are living in the outer chatzar. Now, Lagabi, what do we mean? Meaning it's very conceptual, this whole idea. The way I described yesterday was like a one-way mirror. In other words, that you can be in the larger chatzar and be in the smaller chatzar. But if you're in the smaller chatzar, you're not in the larger chatzar. So how does that translate halachically? So the Gemara gave a half a dozen examples in yesterday's daf in terms of halachically how it would impact us. One of the examples that was given, the first example that was given, which I mentioned yesterday, is an extremely challenging example. But one of the examples was given was if I plant a vineyard in the larger chatzar, and then I go ahead and plant zera in the smaller chatzar. You see, under such circumstances, what's going to now happen is that the zera that I'm planting in the smaller chatzar, it's ki'ilu that the larger geffen is living. I understand we're no longer talking about residents and shops. We're now talking about the Isra of Kalayim. Mm-hmm. But still, conceptually, it all comes out to the same point. It's as if the Geffen is not only in the large Chatzar, but it's also in the small Chatzar as well. And so basically now, the Zera that you're planting is going to be mixed, crossed, together with the Geffen. What does that mean halachically? It means that basically you're going to have to destroy the Zera. How about the Geffen? Are you going to have to destroy the Geffen? No. It's an odd conclusion. The Geffen themselves don't have to be destroyed because the Geffen are as if they're living in the small chatzer. So I have Geffen and Zera being planted together, so therefore the Zera has to be destroyed. But the Zera is not as if it is living together with the Geffen, so therefore the Geffen does not need to be destroyed. Did I lose everybody already in the first couple minutes of the Daf? Hopefully not. But in other words, that's what we talked about yesterday. What comes out from that is something very odd, and this is what bothers the Gemara. What comes out then is that if I didn't have a mechitza, let's take away all the mechitzas, and all I'm left with now is, here I got Geffen planted over here, and I have Zera planted over here. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's as long as there's a dalama separation between the two, so then there's no problem whatsoever. And now, because of the configuration of the walls, and because it's configured in a chatzar gedola, chatzar katana scenario, so now you want to tell me that the walls are going to create a problem. Just the Gemara says, just from a concept standpoint, when do walls create a problem? Walls usually solve problems. Walls don't create problems. And so it bothers the Gemara, how come over here, because of the introduction of a wall, now I have a problem? When do we ever have that throughout all of Shas? So basically what the Gemara is going to do is take us through a quick tour of possible other scenarios where walls are going to hurt us and not help us, so that this is not totally unprecedented. Okay? So yesterday we went through one example. We're on the very bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, and we're basically going to try to find a couple of other examples throughout Shas where we find this idea that walls hurt us and not help us. So Amalei Rav La Abaye, we're on the very bottom of Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. So Rav says to Abaye, V'lo Mitzir Mechitza L'Isser, what do you mean? We do find Mechitza's create Isser, V'ha Itmar. Consider the following scenario. So let's say I put schach over nachsadja. Nachsadja is basically like a patio, and there's a better word for it, a pavilion. Okay, thank you. So I have a pavilion. So a lot of our houses have this type of structure. Basically, it's no walls. It's right outside the house. It's no walls, and basically I have some sort of roof over the top. It's like a gazebo. So. And I'm going to describe it the way Rashi describes it. Tosfos strongly objects to Rashi's description. Okay, it's noted. But I'm just going to describe it the way Rashi describes it. Basically, I have two houses on two sides, and I have beams going across, and I put schach on top of the beams. Now, if that was it, we would not have a kasher sukkah, meaning how much do you need for kasher sukkah? So we know we need three walls. Okay, and the third wall doesn't have to be an entire wall. The third wall can all have to be a tefach. Okay, so over here, let's build out the sukkah a little bit more. So again, I have two houses on two opposing sides. I have beams going across the middle, and I have what's called pitsim. And pitsim just simply means slats that are running perpendicular with the house on all four sides. Okay, and each slat, let's say, is greater than a tefach. Okay, so good. So now I have a kosher sukkah. Okay. Again, I'm simplifying. Right, Tosfos says it's not true. Don't the two walls have to be run perpendicular with one another, and they can't be opposite one another? That's Tosfos' criticism of Rashi. But okay, again, I'm just presenting it like Rashi. So I have the two opposing walls. I got little perpendicular slats running across, and now what? We have a kasha sukkah. We're great. I put schach over the top of it, and now on sukkahs, I can sit inside of this pavilion. Obviously, kasha schach is on the top, and it would serve as my sukkah. So far, so good. Very straightforward. Now, ilu hishva pitsimeha pisula. But then the Gemara notes, but let's say I do the following. Let's say I build a wall. What am I going to do? I'm going to build a wall from slat to slat, basically narrowing the area in between. If I'm trying to help you visualize this. If you can see a picture of this in the book, there's a good picture of this. But basically now what I'm going to do is build a wall from one slat to the other slat, on the same side, and now essentially what I've done is I've eradicated my third wall. Now basically what I've done is I've created, now I'm sitting in an enclosed area that's only surrounded by two walls. So building a wall will create an isser. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye L'Didik Shera. So Abaye says, first of all, let's get things straight. I still think it's a kasher sukkah because of this concept of pitikra yored v'sosim. The edges of the beams are coming down. So therefore, it is enclosed on all four sides. Okay, Rashi notes, we haven't experienced this machlokis yet between Abaye and Rava. It's coming up in a couple of short days from now. But in other words, Abaye says, look, I don't even think it's a question. But liditcha, but according to you, it's also not going to be a question. So, I lost my spot. Lididikshera, liditcha, siluk mechitzos hu. You're not building a wall, you're removing a wall. Meaning, if everything were just left alone, what do I have? I have two walls that were created by the houses on the two opposing sides, and I've got the slats. The slats represent the third and fourth, although I don't need one, the third and fourth wall of the sukkah. By you leveling out, building a wall, and leveling out the slats, you didn't create a wall, you removed a wall by doing such. So it's not a good precedent, it's not a good case study. You looking for a case study in which you're actually creating a wall that didn't exist over there, and that creating a problem. Here, by building the wall, you're removing the status of the third wall of the slats. So it's not a good case study. It doesn't really play into this discussion. So the Gemara is going to try to give another example where a mechitza actually presents a problem. The Hatanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa, beisha chetzi mekura vechetzi ein mekura. I have a house, and the roof of the house only goes halfway across. Okay, stops in the middle. Strange, of course, but that doesn't matter. For our purposes of discussion, we want this. We want the house to go halfway across. Now, at the edge of the roof, in other words, halfway into the house, at the edge of the roof where it stops, we have this concept of pitikra yor visosim. The concept of pitikra yor visosim is that if the roof stops, and it's an edge, right? It's a 90-degree edge, so that edge continues to go down and seals off that area. Okay, that's a halachic concept. A halachic wall concept of pitikra yored v'sosim. Now, that I have this halachic wall, can't see it, you're not going to run into it, but it's there. Now that I have a halachic wall, now what? We've gone over this concept time and again in the world of Kalayim. I can plant one seed on one side and another seed on the other side. And even if they're right next to one another, with a wall interposing between these two, that would be fine. Okay. Normally, I need a 4-amma separation between the two, but on both sides of the wall, it's fine. And it doesn't have to be a real wall. It can even be a halachic wall. That would be fine as well. So, gefanim kan, mutal zera kan. So, if I have gefanim on one side, I can plant zera on the other side, and it would be no problem whatsoever because of this legal wall that's created through the methodology of pitikra yored v'sosim. Fine. That's all the facts. And now the Gemara is going to try to make its argument. The Ila Hishve is Kiryav Aser. Now, let's say I continue building roof. And what I do now is I finish off the roof and I finish the roof to the other end of the house. Now, of course, I have lost my pitzik or yor v'sosem. So that's building a wall which creates an isser. And again, the Gemara is going to object to this with the same objection that it did previously. What are you talking about? That's not building a wall. That's removing a wall. By you finishing off the roof, you have now taken away the edge that ran down the middle. You've taken away the pitik or yard v'sosem. So that's not building a wall. That's removing a wall. So once again, that's not a good example. So the Gemara is going to continue. Shachle Rav Labai Biyad Rav Shamei Bar Ziri V'lo Metzina Mechitza L'Isser. Again, the Gemara is going to try to invoke another example in Shas where a Mechitza is built to create Isser. This is now going to be, I believe, the fifth attempt to try to show that sometimes Mechitza can present a problem and not create a solution. V'hatanya Yesh B'Mechitza Sakerem L'Hakol Achmer. The Gemara here quotes the Braisa. And then when it comes to a vineyard, mechitzas can sometimes work as a kula, and mechitzas can sometimes become a chumra, ketzah. Kerem hanatua. So, ad ikar mechitza zarea, mi ikar mechitza ve'elach, she'ilu ensha mechitza marchik dala amos. So, in other words, first the basic halacha. That I can plant up to a wall, and then after the wall, I can plant whatever I want. Fine. So, that's mechitzas lahakel. That mechitza serves as a kula. Without the mechitza, I need a distance of 4 amos. Okay, good. Vizareah, I'm sorry. Ein sha mechitza marchigdal amos vizareah. Vizeo mechitza sakerem lahaka. So that's a simple example of how a mechitza could serve as a kula. Where I have gefanim on one side of the mechitza, I have zera on the other side of the mechitza. There doesn't have to be any distance because the wall creates a separation. Okay. Now, lahachmir. Now, how can it be that a wall serves as a chumra? It sounds beautiful. Meaning whatever we're about to read in this Braisa, it does indicate that there are times when walls are going to hurt us. What exactly is going to be that example of walls are going to hurt us? If it is up to the wall, 11 amos, you cannot bring Zera over there. But without a wall, so you only have to be 4 amos away. And that's an example of mechitzas hakerem lahachmir. So without explaining this too well, which isn't right, meaning my job is to explain things well, but without explaining things too well, we now have painted a scenario in which, with a wall, it has to exceed 11 amos. Or let's say 12 amos, just for the purposes of clarity. With a wall, it has to be a 12 amos space. Without a wall, only a 4 amos space.
Why didn't this 11 amos rule didn't apply to the previous case that
okay, the reason why I'm not explaining it well is because we need to read more in the Gemara, and then you'll see all this will become clear. So Amar Lay, so again, so now we have finally shown, seems pretty clear, we have a scenario where walls are going to hurt you. That we have this case in Kalayim, we don't really understand what the case is yet, we have this case in Kalayim, that with a wall, 12 amos. Without a wall, 4 amos. Space between the vineyard and whatever else, whatever other species you want to plant. Okay? So you see that walls sometimes hurt. Amar lei l'tamechus v'memasnifzen. So he says to him, look, you're quoting Brises, right? In other words, before we get on to the Brisa, can we learn the Mishnah? Now for us, by the way, this is going to be the second time we're learning this Mishnah together. It's a Mishnah in Kalayim, the first Mishnah, the fourth parak of Kalayim. Not that I am holding in Kalayim. I know how to read the inside of the page of the Gemara. But in other words, but this is the second time, though, that we are learning this mission together. Did not. And we learned in the Mishnah Karachas HaKerem. We're going to basically illustrate two different scenarios of the vineyard. We're going to talk about this, the middle of the vineyard, the center of the vineyard. The Gemara describes as Karachas HaKerem, the bald spot of the vineyard. Right, you know how us men have the bald spot in the center of our head? So it's just a great way the Gemara visualizes the center of the kerem. So and then there's the mechol hakerem, and that is the perimeter of the vineyard. Okay, we're going to go through each one. So beisham omrim chavdal amos, beisol omrim tezayin amos. So it's machlokes between beisham and beisol. For our purposes, we're learning the daf. I'm just going to say over Beis Hillel, it's the halacha makes things a little bit clearer. So Beis Hillel says that if you want to plant other grains in the center of the vineyard, so there has to be a 16 amma empty space, empty area in the center of the vineyard. So Omrim Tezvay Nama Mechol, I'm sorry, that is Karachas HaKerem. And then Mechol HaKerem, and then if it's a vineyard with a perimeter, and I want to plant other species on the perimeter, not in the center, so Beishamay Omrim Tezvay Nama Beisil Omrim Yud Beizama. So Beisil says that you need 12 Amas. Ve'ezui Karachas HaKerem, and the Mishnah goes on, and we're still in the Mishnah in Kalayim. So Kerem Shechar Vemsi Yosav. So the Karachas is where you have are missing the center of the vineyard. So it's a mutar. So as long as there is a 16 amma, in other words, and that's a box, that's a square, 16 amma by 16 amma. As long as there's a 16 amma square in the center of the vineyard, so then you're allowed to plant other species. Ezu mechol akerem, and what's an example of the perimeter of the field? The mechol, by the way, is a circle. So the mechol hakerem, so bein hakerem legeder, the distance between the vineyard and the outer wall that surrounds the entire property. She'imein sham yud beizama lo yavizer l'sham. Hayusham yud beizama noson lo kidei avodasav v'zareya esamosar. So now, if there's a 12 amma space between the vineyard and the wall, so then you can plant another species. If there's not a 12 amma space, so then you cannot plant another species. Okay, that is a Mishnah in Kalayim. So first of all, now we got our hands on the number 12, meaning it's this Mishnah Kalayim that tells us about the number 12. I mean, the Braisa alluded to it. The Braisa said it's got to be greater than 11. Okay, so now we know greater than 11 means 12. But in this Mishnah now, in Kalayim, we get the basic idea that if I want to plant another species in the center, 16 amas. If I want to plant another species around the perimeter, up against the wall, I need 12 amas space. But what the Gemara is about to argue is, it's not because the wall's creating Isser. That's not what's going on over here. It's just a functional issue in terms of why I need a 12 amma space. And the Gemara is going to explain. We could take out the word dechol or insert the word ella. Ella dechol da'ala amas legabe keren avodas hakerem. So first of all, we're just going to explain why the need for 12 amas. 4 amas is an easement. Okay? In other words, every time you plant a vineyard, I'm going to need to work around the vineyard, and I'm going to need to navigate around the vineyard. So the first 4 amas that are surrounding the vineyard, that's kidei avodaso. That's just an easement to allow me to work. I can't plant over there because I just need that property. Lagabe gader kevan de la mizdarin afkurim afkalo. And the 4 amas that are proximate to the wall, so those 4 amas, people don't plant right up against the wall. That's not done. Again, I'm not in agriculture, so just I accept the Gemara at its face value. As a matter of practicality. And now, so I've explained the 4 amos that are proximate to the vineyard. I've explained the 4 amos that are proximate to the wall. So if we're 12 amos total, so how many are missing right now? So that's 4 amos. So the Gemara says, Debeni Beni, now that's center 4 amos, Iika dal chashivan v'ilo lo chashivan. As just as a matter of chashivas, of significance, if it's 4 amas and I'll plant another species over there, anything less than 4 amas, I just simply won't plant over there. So it's not that the walls are creating Isser, it's just everything over here is serving as a functional purpose. The 4 amas of easement against the vineyard, the 4 amas to get up against the wall, which no one plants, and then I need 4 amas in the center, that's why I need a totality of 12 amas, but not because the wall is actually creating Isser.
Can just 4 amma space serve both purposes? That means that 4 for each purpose?
Certainly. But the Gemara is just trying to explain to you why, in other words, without a wall, I just need a space of 4 amas. And now with a wall, I need 12 amas. So the Gemara just wants to explain it's not that the wall is creating an Isser, it's just this is just a functional issue. Okay, and that's it, and that ends the first part of today's daf. We are finished with this topic. So again, essentially all this started because one of the examples of chatzar gedola, chatzar kitana, was if I plant vineyard in the large chatzar, and I plant zera in the small chatzar, it's as if that which I plant in the small chatzar is I'm planting in the vineyard, and the zera becomes aser. And essentially what has happened is, because of the configuration of the walls, so therefore it's created a problem. Do we have another place in all of Shas where creating a wall creates a problem? Making a wall creates a problem. Oddly enough, you see what the Gemara landed on all this? There is no other. There is no other place in Shas. Meaning, the Gemara wanted to know, is it precedented? And the Gemara basically said, it's unprecedented. But still, it doesn't negate the fact that this serves as one of our examples. Even though it seems to be unprecedented in the world of Mechitzos, and Mechitzos create a problem. Okay, next part of today's daf. Next part of today's daf, visually complicated. I have pictures. Okay, I built, and what is that? That's right. That's a cross sign. So they are actually pictures to help us understand this next part of today's daf. So you can look up there for a little bit of help. The in Boca, by the way, you know the old buildings in Boca, the H buildings, right? I know this because the Torah Academy is an H building, right? It used to be back in World War II. Little Boca history. I learned this. I didn't know this. So the what they used to do is they used to have buildings in the shape of an H, so that when they would come here looking from up top, they would see the H building and they would know it's a hospital. So okay. So a lot of your buildings on East Boca are shaped in the form of an H. So anyway, so fine. So but those are the two configurations. So the Gemara says. The Gemara starts off the following discussion. Do I introduce? Let me introduce a little bit, and then we'll go ahead in the Gemara. Okay, yeah. All right. Remember we talked about earlier the enclosed area. So you're traveling, right? You're going on a journey. We spent a lot of time in the second paragraph discussing this, and you want to create for yourself like a like an enclosure, so that on Shabbos, on this particular Shabbos, so we're allowed to carry. So we talked about a maximum area of enclosure. An enclosure cannot be more than two sa, right? 5,000 square amas, right? If it's greater than 5,000 square amas, so then you can't carry in that area. The rabbis gave it a karmala status. Okay. If, however, this really takes us back in the Masechta. If, however, we're a caravan of people, so then there's no limitation. So then we can build the enclosure to whatever size we want. It's only if we're one or two people traveling are we capped, are we limited to how big an enclosure we can make for this particular Shabbos. But once we're three, we have caravan status, and the Gemara is called the Shayara, and therefore we're now allowed to carry, we're now allowed to make this area as big as we want, as physically we want. Okay? That is a review of what we learned earlier in the Masechta. And now we are in the Gemara. I don't know how we shift to this topic right now. What the segue is. Okay. But anyway, I do know, because we're going to be talking about Chatzar Gedolah, Chatzar Ketana. Okay, I take it back. I retract. Amar Rav Yehuda. We're on Sadi Gimel Amad Aleph. We're two-thirds down. We're starting in the center of the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Gimel Karfifo Zebitzad Zeb. So I have three Karfifos, one next to another. So in other words, that H, don't be too confused. Okay? That H is really karfuf, karfuf, karfuf. Right? Large karfuf, narrow karfuf, and once again back to a wide karfuf. So zeshnaim achitzona megufafim, emtsa'i eino megufaf. So the two outer ones are megufafim, which means that they look like they're totally enclosed, meaning if you're standing, right, put yourself and one of the outer karfefios. So it's going to look like you're enclosed by four walls. What about that opening over there? So let's say the gap over there is not greater than 10 amas. Okay, so in other words, it has gifufim, it has the side posts. The center, as where you're, the center one, there is no side post, meaning as you're sitting in that one, basically the way it looks like to you is that you only have two walls. And it spills out into the outer karfefios. Okay? Now watch. Now let's put one person in every one of these karfefios. So I'm over here to my right, to your left, on the picture on the board. So I'm going to have one person in each karfuf. So far so good. Nase kishayara. That now has shayara status. Why? Because remember, what did we say to start off this whole discussion? Coming to yesterday's daf. The one living in the larger chatzir also has residence in the smaller chatzir. The smaller chatzir becomes like a pesach to the one living in the larger chatzir. So that person living on the outside, it's ki'ilu, he's living on the inside. and the person living on the other side, it's ki'ilu living on the inside. So basically what we can do with this concept of chatzar gedola, chatzar katana, is that we could take these three people, unite them, look at them as one entity, and so now I have three. And three, for the purposes of this halacha, makes all the difference. Because once I have three, now there is no cap, there is no limitation to how large an enclosure we can make. Notes and lahan kol tzarchan. You can give them whatever area you want. The word vadai, the Bach takes it out of the Gemara. But let's do it the other way. Now let's have the three karfefios, one, two, and three. And now let's do the same thing. Let's put one person in each one of these karfefios. Now they are not united. They are not one singular group. They're only given beis sheish. Beis sheish meaning two sa'a per person. Okay? Why don't we view the three of them together? Very simple. Because in this scenario, again, the one living in the larger chatzar is as if he's living in the smaller chatzar, but the one living in the smaller chatzar is not as if he's living in the larger chatzar. Again, it's the one-way mirror theory. So therefore, this guy over here is really on an island. That guy over there is on an island. Now, it's true that you have one guy in the center. And it's true, you could view him in either direction, but even if you do, that only gives you two on one side, not three. Ibailahu. Okay, so now that we got the facts on the ground, so now the Gemara says, let's play around a little bit with the numbers. We're staying with this picture over here, where the wide karfif is in the middle, and the two smaller karfifios are on the side. And the Gemara says, and let's do this now. Let's have one on each side, and let's have two in the middle. Mahu. What would be the halacha over there? Because again, those two in the middle, you could make the argument that, well, I can move them to either side. And whichever side I move them to, you're going to end up with three. Ilahacha nafki tlasa havu. The ilahacha nafki tlasa havu. So whichever way I'm going, I'm going to have three. Odilma chad lahacha nafik. The chad lahafa lahacha nafik. Or the Gemara says, or maybe not. Maybe those two, look, I don't want to leave anyone out on an island. So maybe those two are going to get split. Or one's going to go to one, and one is going to be assigned to the other, and that's only going to give me two in each. Okay? Now the Gemara says, now, let's even though the Gemara just asked us as a question, let's assume that that's correct. That one goes, one is assigned to one, the one karfa from the other is assigned to the other. How about this? So let's go with this configuration. Again, same picture. I have two on the outer one, I have two on the other outer one, and one in the center. So mahu hachavadi ilahacha nafik klasahavu v'ilahacha nafik klasahavu. So the Gemara says, look, in this scenario over here, this one in the center, so he's going to be pushed into a direction, and we may not know which direction he is, but either way, I have two on either side. I have two on both of the sides, so I'm going to end up with three. So that's one argument you can make. O Dilma. Or maybe because we don't know with real certainty which side he's going to be assigned to, so maybe therefore we will not really assign him to either side.
Is he considered smaller than the other two? No.
I mean, in other words, in this scenario, this is the large chatzar. This is chatzar gedol.
Why couldn't he incorporate both simultaneously and become just one big one?
Yeah, it's a fair question. It is
based on the principle we had yesterday. It should be, no.
It's a reasonable question. The Gemara, for whatever reason, I don't fully understand, but the Gemara assumes that that's not going to be an option. Meaning, it's either one way or another. And I don't have a really good answer to your question. And the Gemara says, and if this were to happen, I mean, these are really strange scenarios. One's hard to imagine would ever come into practice, but if it would ever happen, so we could be makel on both of these questions that the Gemara just posed. Meaning, both in where there's two in the center and one each side, one in the center and two in each side, the Gemara says is that if there is a way to get us to the number three, so then we're going to get to three, and therefore there will be no cap in terms of how large an area we can enclose. Okay.
But the center karpa looks as if it only has two walls.
The center karpov in this scenario actually has four walls, meaning because this area over here is just a Pesach, and this area over here is just a Pesach. In this scenario, it really does look like that center karpov only has two. two walls.
Each karpov in the second case here looks like it's a complete karpov.
Right. In other words, in this karpov, right, there are three distinct karpov, karpathios.
Right, so right. Why would one subsume the other?
It's not a question of subsuming. It's a question of when I have a person over here and a person over here, can I merge the people together? And the advantage of doing that would be that I have three in one area. Once I have three in one area, so then it's given shayara status, which means that then there's not going to be a cap of size. Okay. Amar of Chista, and that ends the second part of today's daf. Okay, so part one of today's daf was, do mechitzas ever hurt you? Okay, and the answer is basically, I can come up with one scenario. The second part of today's daf is the merging of people to create a shayara, and using the concept of chatzar gadol, chatzar katan in order to do so. And now, part three of today's daf really takes us off on a slightly different route. Amar of Chista. We're on the top of Tzadi, Gimel Amud Beis. Gidur Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Ein Mitzdar Finashi, O Kul Begidur, Kul BeMechitza. Okay? Basically now, I have Chatzeros, they're not on the same plane, right? One is more elevated than the other. Okay, let's say that one Chatzer is five Tfachim higher than the other Chatzer. So already there's a natural embankment to get from one Chatzer to the next Chatzer, and let's say that embankment is five Tfachim. Okay.
But even according to Amir, that shouldn't be a problem because it's less than 10 tfachim.
Well, wait just one second. Let's first see where we're going with this discussion. Okay. Then, what I do is I build a five tefach mechitza. So now basically the question is going to be the following. Can I look at the five tefach embankment plus the five tefach wall and say I have 10 tefachim of wall? Now, your immediate reaction, your intuitive reaction would be, of course it's a 10 tefach wall. What difference does it make what materials I use to create a wall? When all said and done, we have a wall of 10 tefachim. So although the Gemara for a moment is going to think that that's not a wall because I need either all gidud or all mechitza, you and I all know, I mean intuitively, it's just natural to think, of course it's going to be a 10 tefach wall. Essentially, what the Gemara is going to sharpen this question, and the Gemara is basically going to say, we know it's a 10 tefach wall from the lower chatzer. But let me ask you this. Let's say you're living in the upper chatzer. Can you look at that and say, I have a 10 tefach wall? That's going to be the Gemara's question. Now, it's a fantastic question, because from where you're standing, from your perspective, it's only 5 tefach of wall. But all you need to do is just drop down into the other chutz there, and you realize, oh, that's a 10 tefach wall. So if it's a wall for one side of the chutz there, can it now also become a wall for the other side of the chutz there, even though from the other side of the chutz there, they're only seeing 5 tefachim of the wall? And not only that, it's more than they're just only seeing 5 tefachim of the wall, they're only experiencing 5 tefachim of the wall. Okay? That happens right now, you understand. That's a sharp question. So this is going to be the question of the Gemara. So again, the Gemara is going to take a couple of lines to really, the point where I got us to, it'll take the Gemara just a little bit to get there, but the Gemara will get there. Gidur chamisha mechitza chamisha ein mitstarfin. So if I have an embankment of 5 and a mechitza of 5, they do not combine. It's either got to be all embankment or all mechitza. So Meisrius to the Gemara right away challenges from Ebreisa, Shei Chatzer, Zulam, Alamizu. I have two Chatzeros, one is higher than the other. The Elyona Gevom and Atachton Asar Tzvachim. And the higher one is 10 Tzvachim higher than the lower one. Oshiesh Ba Gidud Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha. Or they have a Gidud of 5 and a Mechitza of 5. Embankment of 5, Mechitza of 5, Ma'arvin Shalim, Ein Ma'arvin Echad. So now we are two separate Chatzeros. You can make two Eruvin, but you cannot merge the two together. Pachos mikan, but if the wall is less than 10 in total, meaning let's say the embankment was 5, but the actual mechitza itself was 3, or 2, or even 4, so then you don't have a 10 tefach wall separating these two chatzeros, ma'arvin echad, the ein ma'arvin shnayin. So then I can only make one eruv, but I cannot make two eruvin because there is no wall separating the two, it's basically one chatzer. Okay, so that's the end of this braisa. Now, what is absolutely clear from this braisa is, of course, I can combine embankment and wall. So, Amar Rava, we have an Agamar Rav, but we'll change it. Amar Rava, it's got to be, because Rav is before Rav Chista historically. So, Amar Rava, Moda Rav Chista betachtona hol v'ro p'nei asara. So, here's where the Gemara really sharpens the question. obviously, if you're from the perspective of the lower chatzer and you're looking at 10 tfachim of material, regardless of what the combination is to get there, of course you're looking at a wall. So it's 5 tfachim of embankment and 5 tfachim of mechitza. You are officially looking at a wall. So ihachi. So now, okay. So Gemara says that's not the question that we were dealing with. The question we were dealing with is if you're living in the upper chatzer and all you're experiencing is 5 tfachim of wall, so can you say that's a wall for you? And the argument you're going to make is, since it serves as a wall for the lower chatzer, so therefore it should serve as a wall for me as well. Okay? So, ihachi, tachtona te'arev shnayim velo te'arev echad. Elyona, lo te'arev, lo echad velo shnayim. So the Gemara says, let's say Rav Chista's right. Okay? Meaning, again, what's Rav Chista's viewpoint? Is that the upper chatzer cannot look at that as a wall. Only the lower chatzer can look at that as a wall. So let's say Rav Chista is right. If he's right, then the brisa is really disaster. I mean, I'm speaking in context, obviously. The brisa is a disaster. Because what the brisa tells us is that if it's 10 tfachim in total, so then they can make, either one of them can make their own separate eruv, or... but they can't make one joint eruv.
There's no shidduch possibility.
Not again. There's the wall is running all the way across from end to end. So the Gemara says, "Velo tarev." I'm sorry. So I hachi tachtona tarev shnayim velo tarev echad. So first of all, again, if Rav Chista is right, and I have 5 tefachim of embankment and 5 tefachim of wall, so let's start off from the lower chatzer. They can't join with the upper chatzer. That's of course not. They have a 10 tefach wall separating the two of them. So, Te'arev Shleim velo Te'arev Echad. They cannot merge. El Yona, and as far as the upper chatzer is concerned, lo Te'arev lo Echad velo Shnayim. Well, they can't make an error whatsoever because they're not surrounded by a fourth wall. Meaning all they're looking at is 5 tefachim of wall. But that's not a wall. A wall has to be 10 tefachim. So, in other words, for Rav Chista, if you're right, the Braisa really makes no sense. Amar Rava Bar Ula. Okay, now, these next lines of Gemara are going to be really challenging if you don't have a picture. Because essentially what the Gemara now is going to try to do is explain the Braisa, assuming Rav Chista is right. So again, let's just review. If I have 5 tefachim of embankment and 5 tefachim of wall, and for the lower chatzer is actually looking at the embankment and wall, so for them it's certainly going to be a mechitza. For the upper chatzer, who only are seeing 5 tefachim of wall, it will not be a mechitza. That's Rav Chista's opinion. The only issue we're going to deal with now is, how did you understand the Braisa? So what the Gemara is going to do is going to try to paint scenarios in which we're going to now try to understand the Braisa. So in scenario number one, Kigon. For example, Shahaisa Elyona Migufefes Ad Eser Amos. So scenario number one is that, look, from the upper Chatzer, the reason why they too are entitled to make their own separate Eruv is because they do have walls. Doesn't Rav Chista say that if they're only looking at 5 tefachim of wall, that's not going to be a wall? Yes, but that's the 5 tefachim between the higher chatzer and the lower chatzer. But after that, there's going to be, how do I say this? There's going to be slats placed around the higher chatzer up to where it meets the lower chatzer. Again, I'm trying to describe a picture, and I'm not doing a particularly good job. It's picture number 337 is going to be a good illustration of what I'm trying to describe over here. In other words, basically you have walls surrounding the upper chatzer. What about the 5 tefach wall? That's only between the upper chatzer and the lower chatzer, but after that you do have an embankment, not an embankment. You have extra wall placed around the perimeter, even on that fourth side. So So the Gemara says, if that's the scenario which we're talking about, picture 337, so if it's less than that, meaning if the wall is less than 10 tefachim in total, so then you can only make one Erev, one joint Erev, but each one of them cannot make their own separate Erev. So the Gemara says, but if the scenario in which you're describing is that that is only describing a portion of the wall, but the remainder of the wall is in fact higher. So in other words, what you have in truth is actual wall surrounding the entire mechitza. So then the upper mechitza, the upper chatzar can make their own eruv. So amarava bere derava kigon. So the Gemara now is going to give a different illustration of what how this would work. Again, all according to Rav Chisda. Another way we could describe is the following: shenifritzach tachtona b'milu al elyona. Right. If you have the book, look at picture number 338. Picture number 338 describes the following. Basically, again, I have an upper chatzar, I have a lower chatzar. The lower chatzar is not only lower, but it's also narrower. So what comes out now is that as you're standing in the lower chatzar, and the wall is less than 10 tefachim, because that's the second half of the braisa, if the wall is less than 10 tefachim, so now essentially what I've done now is I've merged the two chatzeros together. The upper chatzer, on the other hand, has four walls around it. Yes, it's true that there is a drop from the upper chatzer to the lower chatzer, and yes, it's true that drop is less than 10 tefachim, but the totality of wall that's surrounding the upper chatzer is going to enclose it and make it so that it is an enclosed area. So the Gemara says, if you're right about this scenario, if what we're looking at is picture number 338, so that means that if you're living in the lower chatzer, so you could only make one merged eruv, you and the upper chatzer. But Elyona, but if you're the upper chatzer, ibay shtreita arev, ibay chata arev, you have an option. You can seed from the union, and you can make your own separate eruv, or you can make a joint eruv with the lower chatzer. So enach inami, the Gemara says that would be true. V'chi ketani pachos mikan marav nechad v'en marav shnayim atachtona. And then what we'll simply say is that the second half of the braisa that says that if the embankment plus wall is less than 10 tefachim, I can make one, they can only make one, they can't make two. That's only a description of the lower chatzer, not the upper chatzer. Okay. Even if you didn't get all that, and that's of course if, I mean, even if you didn't get all that, again, the basic idea of Rav Chisda still remains intact. That if I don't see 10 tefachim of wall, even though somebody else may see it as 10 tefachim of wall, I can't view it as 10 tefachim of wall. Okay? That means that if I have an embankment plus a wall, so for the people who actually see the embankment and the wall, so for them it's a wall. But for the people living on the top who only are experiencing the wall, so they cannot view it as a wall. Okay? That is Shitas Rav Chisda, and the Gemara now is going to argue. Darush Meremar. Meremar expounds. And usually Darush means he does so publicly. Darush Meremar, Gidud Chamisha Mechitza, Chamisha Mitzarfin, they do combine. Meaning, according to Meremar, it's going to serve as a 10 tefach wall, not only for the courtyard that's experiencing it as 10 tefachim, but even for the courtyard that is not experiencing it as 10 tefachim. Ashkechei Ravina L'Ravacha, Brei D'Rava Amar Lei Tanimar, Midim Mechitza. So, anything was taught regarding Mechitza, Amar Lei Lo, and he said no. Okay, in other words, it sounds like he doesn't necessarily agree with this. The Hilchasa, but the Gemara comes to a very strong conclusion on this matter. Gidul Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Mitztarfin. That the Gemara says, but that's in fact the accepted halacha. In other words, even though there's a machlokus between Rav Chisda and Meremar, so the Gemara says, but we're going to be mekel. The halacha is that they are mitzarf. They do in fact combine. Okay. That takes us to our third topic of today's daf, and now we're going to finish off with our fourth topic of today's daf. Okay, covering a lot of ground today. By Rav Hoshia, diyur nabayim b'shabbos ma'ushi yasra. Let's say I have residents that come on Shabbos. How are they going to impact the Erev? Now, when we talk about people coming in on Shabbos, I mean, let's try to be clear over here. It's not like we're talking about people actually moving in on Shabbos, right? We obviously, the Erev is for the Jewish population. No one's moving in on Shabbos. Okay, we have Tchum issues and a couple of other issues in terms of moving in. That's not what we're discussing over here in this last topic of today's daf. What we're discussing over here is where basically mechitzas crumbled on Shabbos, which introduced a new chatzer, a new residence into our area. So what are they going to do in terms of affecting the Erev? Will they affect the Erev? So Amr Chista Tashma Chatz Gadol Shenifritz Laktana Hagdol Mitaras Vaktana Asura Mimneishi Kipischa Shel Gadola. So the Gemara says, well, let's first turn to our Mishnah. Doesn't our Mishnah address this issue? Our Mishnah talks about how members of the larger chatzir are considered residents of members of the inner, of the smaller chatzir. So doesn't that speak to the idea where if a wall were to come down, so then there would be an automatic merging of the two? So Amar Rabba, Eimar mi ba'od yom nifritza. So Rabba says, no. That doesn't mean anything. Meaning that could be where the wall came down before Shabbos, and so therefore the merging took place before Shabbos. Our question is, what happens if this occurs on Shabbos? Where now I have a merging of residences together on Shabbos, where independently they made an Eruv, but they didn't make a joint Eruv, and now the wall comes down on Shabbos, what's the status? So first of all, don't state it as a suggestion that the Mishnah is talking about where it came down. Maybe the Mishnah was talking about a case where it came down before Shabbos. I'm telling you, it came down before Shabbos. Da'amaru da'amar by me name Rav Huna, by me name Rav Yehuda, Erev derech ha-Pesach, v'nistam ha-Pesach, Erev derech ha-Cholon, v'nistam ha-Cholon, ma'o va'amali Shabbos, kevin shehutra hutra. Because we know, as a general rule, that statuses are fixed. Meaning, whatever status you go into Shabbos, even if the physical dimensions have changed, it still remains intact. For example, let's say there was a joint Erev that was made between two chatzeres, and there was a doorway between the two, which allowed the two chatzeres to merge, and then on Shabbos the doorway got blocked up. Okay, whatever. However it happened. The halacha is as long as we made an Erev going into the Shabbos, the status remains, even though there's no access between the two. Okay. It markoso shebein shtei chatzer shenafal, Rav Amar imetaltan bala bedel amas, Shmuel Amar zemetalta ad ikar mechitza, vizemetalta ad ikar mechitza. So the Gemara notes now, this machlokis between Rav and Shmuel, we talked about where basically you have areas stuffed between one chatzer or another. What if the wall comes down between chatzeres? So we have a machlokis between Rav and Shmuel in terms of whether now, because I had a wall but it's no longer there, again, there's a larger enclosure around these greater chatzer. It's just that the wall that was separating the two of them has now come down. And they didn't make a joint Eruv. So now what's the halacha? So Rav's of the opinion that we're all done. Meaning, our Shabbos now is officially come to an end in terms of carrying. Nobody can carry anymore. All you have is Dal Amos.
He wouldn't have the concept of one group Mebatzel to the other group.
I mean, maybe you could do Bittel. Maybe. But in other words, the Gemara is just assuming, as is. What's the story? So Rav says, we're all done. We all can only carry Dal Amos. Shmuel Amar, we're on the top of Tzadi Dal Amad Aleph, Zemetalt Ad Iker Mechitza, Zemetalt Ad Iker Mechitza. No, meaning wherever I could have carried going into Shabbos, that's where I'm going to be able to carry, even though we are missing a wall currently. And we're just finishing up the daf today. We don't know, Rav didn't say this to us explicitly, but it's implicit. The Gemara describes a scenario where Rav and Shmuel were situated in a chatzer on Shabbos. Now, for Guda de Beni Beni, the center wall that was separating two chatzeres fell down. Amar Shmuel, Shkulu Glima. Shkulu Glima. So, Negida. Negida. So, take a talis and put it up against where the wall once was, just simply as a way of demarcating where the wall once upon a time was, so that people know that they can only carry up to where the wall was. But again, Shmuel, consistent with his viewpoint, that as long as there was a wall going into Shabbos, and the center wall comes down, every chatzir is still entitled to carry up to the wall. Ahadrinu Rav La'ape. So, Rav turned the other direction. Meaning, Rav was... He didn't want to object vociferously, so what he did is he just turned his face the other way to show that he's not going to openly disagree with Shmuel, but at the same time, however, he wanted to voice quietly his objection to this practice. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point in the Gemara. And we start a new Mishnah tomorrow.